I said I need somebody willing to get up before dawn, milk cows, work all day in the fields, milk cows again, eat supper, then go to town and stay past midnight at a meeting of the school board. So God made a farmer.
My administration will be focused on three very important words. Jobs, jobs, jobs.
Congressman must be a minister, a social worker, a diplomat, a tough guy, and a gentleman. And of course he'll have to be a genius because he'll have to feed a family on a policeman's salary.
From this day forward, it's going to be only America first. America first. We, the citizens of America, are now joined in a great national effort to rebuild our country and restore its promise for all of our people. Because today, we are not merely transferring power from one administration to another or from one party to another, but we are transferring power from Washington, D.C., and giving it back to you, the people.
Hold on to your seats. Buckle up for safety. You are now entering another dimension with the Scott Adams Show.
And we're back. My name is Scott Adams. You're listening to The Scott Adams Show live on Red State Talk Radio. Today is Wednesday, January 10th, 2018. And we're going to be talking about a lot of things. We're going to talk about DACA and chain migration and the lottery system and a lot of other things. But also, I just wanted to make a note that there overnight, there was a couple of things that happened that were kind of interesting. One was a federal judge out west was pressuring or basically rejecting Trump's ability to reverse and erase an executive order related to DACA. And this was Obama's executive order related to the Dreamers. Also overnight, though, there was the 7.6 magnitude earthquake off the coast of Honduras. A tsunami warning for Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands has been issued. And that's something to keep an eye on right there. That could be a big deal. And that is plastered across the front page of the Drudge Report. But also, we're going to talk about Dianne Feinstein doing a data dump on the Fusion GPS testimony, Glenn Simpson, his testimony related to Fusion GPS, where they talk about, you know, people were killed during this thing. There always seems to be somebody turning up dead. And what's interesting about that is they think that Papalopoulos is involved. And they also, you know, the first name that came to my mind with regard to someone wound up dead was Seth Rich, of course. But it turns out it's this Russian, Milly Kiesley, I can't pronounce it, but in any case, this Russian that ended up dead. And we're going to get into some of the details as to, you know, what the Fusion GPS data dump actually means and why Feinstein may have done it. Frankly, you know, that's a little bit of a mystery. But there's a lot more that's going to be surrounding that as that comes out, because one of the things we really don't know for sure yet with regard to Fusion GPS are the bank records. The bank records are going to tell the story. Follow the money, and that's where you'll find the truth. So yesterday also, I think, was a big day. Steve Bannon was ousted from Breitbart. That the Mercers, Rebecca and Robert Mercer, big money people. Now, in Republican and conservative politics, there's a lot of money, as there is in the Democrats. You know, you got the George Soroses over there and the Tom Steyers over there in the Democrat Party. But in the Republican Party, you got the Koch brothers. And you got the Mercers. And never the two shall meet. You know, basically the Mercers are more in the Bannon camp, and the Koch brothers are more in the Bill Kristol camp. Generally speaking, the Koch brothers are more establishment types. They kind of like hanging their hat on someone like Jeb Bush. The Bushes, the old guard, and the old way of doing things, not very cutting edge. But then you got the Mercers, and with the Mercers, they are a lot more cutting edge. I think they have a better vision of the future of the Republican Party, and they pulled the plug. They were spending upwards of $10 million a year on Breitbart. $10 million. They were spending a lot of money. And they pulled the plug on Steve Bannon and made sure that he was out at Breitbart. So, you know, poor Steve. You know, I got to tell you, I'm not one to pile on with Steve Bannon. I think his heart was in the right place. I think he made some mistakes, obviously. I don't know why anyone would hook up with such a bad character as Michael Wolff, who came out and all but admitted that the book is a total fraud and lie. He said that he was resorting to cabinet members. Then he said he never interviewed anybody in the cabinet. So there's a problem there, right? So the book Fire and Fury is really a dud. It's a pack of lies. He never interviewed a cabinet member within the inner circles of the Trump administration. And he said that he did. So there was a lie there. He also lied that about the interpretation that, you know, Trump didn't know who John Boehner was, when in fact there's pictures of Trump and John Boehner, I don't know, playing golf or something. So clearly there are major lies there. So, you know, if they're lying, then they have an agenda. And if they're lying and they have an agenda, you can't possibly believe the book. Made somebody rich. So as you can see, we have a lot to talk about. The call lines are open. If you'd like to call in, it's 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. If you'd like to call in and be heard, that's 215-867-8255. We're going to talk about this press access to a big meeting related to immigration reform. And we're going to talk about some things that went on there that were quite interesting. I watched the whole thing, as I think a lot of us have, and it was unprecedented. It did a lot of things yesterday, put the naysayers to rest. It kind of warmed up a little bit of the left media. It certainly put the Fire and Fury book to rest and Michael Wolff to rest with all these ridiculous commentary about Trump's mental capacity and beyond. But we're going to talk about the policy and the logistics going forward about DACA. There's a lot to this that remains to be seen, and we'll get to that after the break. You're listening to The Scott Adams Show live on Red State Talk Radio.
Did you know that the average yearly repair bill for a car 5 years or older is more than $1,200? Having repair coverage for your car just makes sense, but the trick is not to overpay for it. With Toco Warranty, you can get a highly rated vehicle protection plan usually for less than a tank of gas per month. And now, we're offering a zero down payment program. To get a great car vehicle protection plan at a super low price, call Toco Warranty at 1-800-987-1519. That's 1-800-987-1519. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, this is Leonora Cravota from Red State Talk Radio for My Pillow. I used to have trouble sleeping. My Pillow changed all that. I now fall asleep within moments of my head touching my pillow. That's how comfortable My Pillow is with its patented interlocking fill. My Pillow stays cool and does not go flat. Plus, it's machine washable and dryable. MyPillow has a 10-year warranty and a 60-day comfort guarantee. MyPillow is also the official pillow of the National Sleep Foundation, and it's made right here in the USA. MyPillow is now offering Red State Talk Radio listeners a 4-pack special with 2 premium standard or queen pillows and 2 go-anywhere pillows. That's 4 pillows for the price of 1. To take advantage of this special offer, call 1-800-961-9194 and ask for promo code REDSTATE. That's 1-800-961-9194, promo code REDSTATE. Put sleepless nights behind you with MyPillow, the most comfortable pillow you will ever own.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Red State Talk Radio is now available as a voice command on your Amazon Echo and Echo Dot by simply saying, Alexa, play Red State Talk Radio.
Red State Talk Radio on TuneIn.
Turn to every single American. Now, we've been hearing all these stories about sanctuary cities that...
You can now find us on the Amazon Echo and Echo Dot, on TuneIn, on iHeartRadio, and we also have the phone apps in the App Store for your particular phone. And just in case we activated your Echo Dot, Alexa, stop.
Hold on to your seats. Buckle up for safety. You are now entering another dimension with the Scott Adams Show.
And we're back. My name is Scott Adams. You're listening to the Scott Adams Show live on Red State Talk Radio and across the country, KYAH and Delta. I want to thank them for picking up our stream. They're our latest and newest station that's picked us up. But you know, I want to just say something positive about the tax reform. You know, the Democrats robbed us of talking about the tax reform. They really did, because they brought up all these different smear tactics, as they always do. And they are not to be played with. I mean, these people, these liberals that try to destroy people's lives, they will stab you in the back in a second. And I say that because, you know, I saw what happened yesterday in the open meeting, and that was great, and we loved it. Thank you, Donald Trump, for that. That would never happen with another president. That was an amazing thing. You know, I got to thank my dad about that. He called me up, and Ray Adams called me up, and he said, you got to check out this thing. And I looked at it. We were talking, and he brought it to my attention. And I was like, yeah, that is some good stuff. And in any case, the thing is, there's more to this, though. I mean, I want to talk a little bit about a tweet that Dan Scavino put out. He said, utilities cutting rates cite benefits of Trump tax reform. Also, the utility companies are cutting their rates because of the lower 35 to 21% tax cut. So people are benefiting in ways that that the Democrats never saw. And what do you hear from Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders and Nancy Pelosi, who said this was the worst piece of legislation in the history of legislation? That's what Nancy Pelosi said. And Chuck Schumer said that it was horrible and a complete bad bill. Not one Democrat voted. Shame on those in red states like Joe Manchin and Heidi Heitkamp and a bunch of Claire McCaskill. Shame on those people who are going to have to answer to their red state constituents and explain why they didn't vote for the most popular, best tax reform bill in 30 years. So, you know, this is going to be a tough day for the Democrats in 2018. I was listening to Karl Rove, and he was posted with this question, and he was asked about the outlook for the Republicans in 2018. And he said, not good, not good. And then somebody else chimed in who was on the panel and said, I agree with Carl. And I couldn't get over myself. I mean, I'm thinking to myself, you know, especially in the Senate where the Democrats have to defend 25 of 33 seats, I don't know what they're talking about. And this is the kind of rhetoric that we see all day long coming from the right. That was the conservative part. Forget about the liberals who are going to throw, you know, every single negativity to us. And I'm just saying this is a fight. And I'm very frustrated by it. And frankly, I know that that's the reason why you all tune into Red State. Because you're thinking the same way we are in that, you know, this is not right. You know, Karl Rove is not right. I know he's not right. Karl Rove has been out to lunch for 20 years. Never liked that guy. Never thought he was bright. They called him the brain. Well, next to W. Bush, maybe he looked like a brain. But I'm really tired of hearing the establishment types who love that Koch brothers money. You know, again, the Mercers, the Koch brothers. We were talking about that last break, before the break, last segment. But also Donald Trump tweeted, "Thank you, GOP leader Kevin McCarthy. Couldn't agree with you more related to tax reform." Then Donald Trump chimed in regarding the DACA ruling in California. And he said, "As I made very clear today, our country needs the security of the wall on the southern border, which must be part of the DACA approval." Now, what happened was in the meeting, they were talking about, everybody was weighing in. Trump was looking like the boardroom CEO and answering questions, asking people for comment, asking senators and congressmen for commentary. And Feinstein, Dianne Feinstein, who did the data dump on the Fusion GPS, we're going to get to that later. Dianne Feinstein weighed in on this and she said, "Well, I'd like to maybe address DACA first and exclusively." Well, as I was saying about the Democrats who would stab you in the back in a second, don't trust them. I don't trust them. And nobody should trust anybody in Congress these days. You know, so she's not to be trusted. So there's no way that you're going to do DACA first and hope and pray that the Democrats will come through for you on chain migration and lottery. We just call it chain lottery wall, right? Chain lottery wall. So that's the nicknames for them. But, you know, chain migration is where you can go outside of the immediate core family, mom, dad, sister, brother, and go to cousins and nephews and distant relatives. That's chain migration. And in New York, as Donald Trump pointed out, the killers in New York got here on lottery and on chain. And they got there on lottery and on chain, and it's exactly one of the problems. They had 22 to 25 people coming in. So this is a real problem. And, you know, so basically, they said, "Well, we're not going to do..." So Trump responded to the Feinstein thing, and he kind of said, "Yeah, we'll get it in there." And I think he was appealing to the cameras. I think he wanted to look positive. Now, here's my take on it. My take on it is over the weekend, all the Republican leadership met at Camp David. And I think that they realized a couple of things about DACA and the Dreamers that are really important. And I have my notes here at the very top. And one of the things is, well, okay, there's a lot of notes at the top here. It says, the question is, how do Republicans win Dreamers? That puzzle is real and will never disappear. The fact is, Trump is probably right, and I think Trump, I'm on the same page as Trump here, that this problem with Dreamers is not going to go away. And if we even alienate half of the Hispanic bloc, the Republicans will lose that vote forever. You got to be really careful as to what kind of pretty face you put on this, no matter what kind of legislation you get. You really do need to placate to the populace on this. And you got to say that we understand that what DACA was designed to do, because Jennifer Palmieri, who was Hillary Clinton's right-hand man, woman, Jennifer Palmieri said in her PAC that the Dreamers are essential to the electoral success of the Democrat Party. She said that in a document that was leaked. And I read the original document. So what I'm saying is that is basically a statement of something that I've known all along. And I said yesterday, the first article I ever wrote was how to turn Texas blue by opening the border. No, this is not new news. This is not an ancient Chinese secret. Calgon. No, this is for real. This is how the Democrats look at people. They look at them as voters that can give them power. Okay, so we know what they're about. And so does Donald Trump. They got together in Camp David and they said, well, we got to spin this thing right because this could really blow up in our faces and really cost us a voting block that we can't afford to lose anymore. It's a fast growing population. And the damage has already been done because of decades of Republican leadership that has failed America. They didn't see the trick. They didn't catch the trick, but Donald Trump caught the trick. The goose is cooked, I mean, here. We got to straighten this thing out, but we got to do it in a way that's going to make us look okay. Because at the end of the day, I think Donald Trump looks at this and says, why take a defensive posture on this? Why not with a strong economy and a strong jobs market and a strong message come out positive and say to the Hispanics and Latinos and Dreamers, we're the party you want to vote for going forward. You should like us best, because all the Democrats want to do is put you into a government plantation, a corral, and basically give you a couple of little morsels and call it a day and, you know, create a lazy population. You don't want to do that. So I think that there is a message, and Donald Trump is struggling to make that message and put on that good face. And when Feinstein came up, he's trying to be as agreeable as he can. But then quickly, Tom Cotton and Perdue and especially McCarthy said, whoa, 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 hold the phones right now. DACA is not going to be done without talking about border security, chain, and lottery. And all of those things have to go into place. And I think we're going to cut through a commercial because I have too much to say. So we're just going to go right through the bottom of the hour commercial right now. But here's the part that's important is that when you address this situation, you have to address it. You have to address it with you have to address this with a good face, but you have to make sure that you're protected as a party. Because we know already that the people that were brought in, through chain and lottery, and they were brought in a way that wasn't merit-based. One of the things Donald Trump said throughout the meeting yesterday, Idaho Bob, I can't take that call just yet because I think we have a guest coming in. So I appreciate you calling in today, but I'm going to have to hold on that just for now. In any case, the merit-based part of this is the most important part. Merit-based part is the most important part. Now, here's why. Because I think that we're going to say yes to DACA. The Republicans and the conservatives are going to say yes to DACA, right? And they're going to say, but we won't take DACA unless we get the wall built and paid for, border security, put an end to chain migration, and put an end to lottery-based systems. Then we'll consider saying yes to DACA. But we'll say yes to DACA only if you address all of our concerns. And the concerns, again, are chain, lottery, border security, border wall, and then the last one. This is underplayed. And I think it's important to understand the last one is merit-based. Merit. Okay. So now the merit part says, and but the other word, the other thing that was said clearly yesterday in the open meeting was that Donald Trump said 800,000. Now I hear other numbers that are 11 million, 12 million. I've heard Ann Coulter say something about 30 million. I think she was taking into account chain migration. And when you do that, it can get, that number can skyrocket big time. And so the point here is that if you take it and say just the core 800,000, that's pretty easy. So chain migration is going to take care of the millions, and the lottery is going to take care of the good chunk. Merit base is also going to take care. So you might, with merit based, cut that 800,000 in half to 400,000. And the reason why that is because there's many of that 800,000 that are bad characters, bad apples, bad hombres, that didn't rise to the level of merit. And merit would be that you have to actually pass through some of the filters that merit requires. Merit is a merit-based system like they do in Australia and Canada that says you can't come into our country unless you pass through a few fundamentals. Speak our language, assimilate, love our country, yada, yada, yada. All right. So I think that we keep the good face of saying yes to DACA, and yes, we care about all this stuff, and we do. But that 800,000 you're talking about is going to stop right there. It's not going to go to chain, which is going to turn it into millions, or lottery. And we're going to apply a merit filter onto it, which is going to make that 800,000 even smaller. Now you got the wall approved with giving up maybe, you know, 600,000, 400,000 liberal voters. In the long scheme of things, in the long game, in the grand scheme of things, in the, you know, looking down the road, what you're going to have is you're going to have a better outcome for Republican Party in terms of balance of voters, in terms of security for our country, in terms of the sociological mix of changing the demographics too quickly. And you can go on and on with regard to the problems associated with the kind of immigration that we've been wrestling with for so long. But, you know, this isn't really, it sounds a little bit complicated. And quite frankly, it's not complicated, but it is hard to put into a soundbite. You can't really put that into a soundbite, into a nice, neat package. But we're talking about 800,000. That 800,000 could explode with the, you know, the multi-level marketing scheme of chain migration, right? Where it just tentacles go out to the cousins and nephews and the distant family members. It turns it into millions. And that's what Barack Obama was trying to do. And again, I had always said that Texas judge, Supreme Court Judge Hannon saved America. He stopped it. Just like the judge in California last night did. Just like that. Just like the judge in California is stopping Trump, Justice Hannon stopped Obama. See, Republican judges in Texas, liberal judges in California, this is the problem I have with litigating from the bench. But this is what you get when you have executive orders. The judge really, you know, that's why these things need to be passed through Congress, so that people can't just quickly take an eraser to these things. Now, congressional laws still get tested, but when they're congressional laws, it's a lot more in line with the business of the people. So, Justice Hannon, then the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals held it up, and then Scalia, as I've said a thousand times in the past, wound up dead in the bed without a witness or an autopsy, and he was the one that was overseeing the Fifth Circuit. He was the one overseeing the Fifth Circuit that said, okay, we will eventually see this case, and it would have been shot down if Scalia was on the bench. So Scalia ends up dead, and Merrick Garland was the guy that was going to be in place. And they tried to rush that in before Obama left, and they were going to try to grant the green light to that DACA order. But it never happened. Mitch McConnell saw to it that that didn't happen. Then we had an election. And no longer did you need the Supreme Court because the executive order was going to be erased away. Thank you, Donald Trump. And that's what happened. And during the 2017 year, Jeff Sessions rolled it back and repealed it. And, you know, of course, Donald Trump signed off on it. So it didn't need to see the court. And now the judge in California overnight said that it unconstitutional, I guess. He said that Trump can't roll back an executive order, which is ridiculous. It's just a way to buy time, really, is all that is. I want to get the I had this article up on my phone. Right here. And I wanted to get the judge's name, which is William Alsup. So a federal judge on Tuesday blocked the Trump administration from rescinding the deferred action for childhood arrivals. You notice this too, deferred action? Well, also, one of the other things related to the meeting that took place in the White House yesterday with Feinstein and McCarthy and Tom Cotton and Steny Hoyer and a whole bunch of others is that they're pushing this through in a big rush, right? Frankly, though, they're talking about a deferred action, and the problem with government laws like that is deferred doesn't always mean deferred. It means permanent. And the same thing is true with El Salvador and Haiti and Syria, where we took in a whole bunch of people temporarily. They were called temporary orders. And a lot of these temporary orders, like in the case of El Salvador, it was related to the 2001 earthquakes. 2001 earthquake. Well, they've cleaned that up already, right? It's been 17 years. So why are they still here? And I would imagine that many of those are probably, they've probably applied for the DACA status. And so it kind of actually plays into Trump's hand, really, because Trump is saying no to the Obama executive order. And he's saying, yes, let Congress deal with it, but in a way that's more favorable to the Republicans and less favorable to the Democrats. It's political. And at the end of the day, the longer the Democrats push this can down the road, the better it is, actually, for Trump. Because whatever that William Alsup did last night in California, It's going to be no problem because it's going to go to the Supreme Court. And guess what's going to happen? The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, 85% of the time, is shot down. And they'll be shot down again. New problem. Not worried about that. And the longer DACA doesn't get approved, the more and more the temporary orders get executed. And there's no argument there. A temporary order is a temporary order. If they come from El Salvador and there's a couple hundred thousand coming from there, that's really, you know, that's headquarters for MS-13, by the way. El Salvador is world headquarters for MS-13. It's one of the most corrupt. You don't go to El Salvador and live. I mean, the odds of you living are pretty slim. So you don't go to El Salvador. But that is a source for major crime in America. And there's 200,000 people that came over on a temporary order that stayed. And Trump is saying, all right, it's time for you to leave. That order is expired. You have to go back home now. And now it's like, well, you can't just take these people. Whose fault is that? Right? Whose fault is that? It's not Trump's fault. If everybody did what they were supposed to do at the time that they were doing it, you know, but they try to extend these things for what reason? It's votes. These people vote liberal because they're dependent on social welfare. Democrats cherry pick. They want people to come through the border dependent upon them so that they'll get their vote and they'll get their power. Because at the end of the day, they could care less about helping those people. They just want their votes to win the Electoral College. And you know who said it best was Hillary Clinton's assistant, Jennifer Palmieri. Just the other day, it was a recent, she said as much. She said exactly that, actually, not as much, exactly that. But it's not something that you and I didn't know all along. And I say this to my audience. I know that you know this. But somehow the mainstream media doesn't seem to know it, or that this game is still being perpetrated and played out and... or I should say perpetuated and played out. But yeah, it says U.S. District Judge William Effett, who is based in San Francisco, ordered the Trump administration to renew parts of the program and to start accepting renewal applications from those already part of the program while related lawsuits make their way through the legal system. However, the judge did not demand the new application that new applications be accepted. Alsep argued the administration's assertion that DACA was unlawful appeared to be based on a flawed legal premise. The ruling permits prior DACA recipients who did not renew their applications ahead of October 5th, an October 5th deadline, the opportunity to submit renewal applications and demands the administration permit future applications that will expire to be renewed, provided the order isn't halted by a higher court. So it's accepting a higher court's ruling. It's basically saying that no new applications can be filed, but in the event that someone missed a deadline and wants to renew, they should be able to renew while the issues are being litigated. And it said, dreamers' lives were thrown into chaos when the Trump administration tried to terminate the DACA program without obeying the law, California attorney. Oh, General Javier Becerra. You've heard Paul Preston talk about Javier Becerra quite a bit. So we know where this is going. It's going to be overturned and appealed. But, you know, in one way, this could delay things in Congress. It could. And frankly, I think that Donald Trump is not going to agree to any DACA relief or compromise without getting everything he wants, because it's favor to him if this can gets pushed down the road. See, there's a benefit to the Republicans and to Trump for this to not work, for this to fail. And I actually think that the compromise is not going to be reached because it benefits the Republicans far too much. And the Republicans are holding all the keys. Sounds tricky, doesn't it? Yeah, you're listening to the Scott Adams Show live on Red State Talk Radio. And we'll see you directly after the break. Idaho Bob, if you want to call back in, I know you called in, you can call back in after the break.
Are you behind on your taxes? The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote at 800-790-4294. 800-790-4294.
Do you use the expensive blue or yellow pills to charge your sex life? Are you thinking about it? What if we can promise you the same results for less than $3 a pill? If you're paying $20 a pill for the other pills, you're getting taken to the cleaners. Our pills deliver the exact same results for less than $3. you'll save more than $16 a pill for the same results. And right now, radio callers will get 44 blue or yellow pills for $120 with free discreet shipping. You can save more than $700 off pharmacy prices. Charge your sex life now and save a ton of money. Call now and get your 44 pills and save over $700 and qualify for free shipping. Stop overpaying and call right now.
800-814-5188. 800-814-5188. 800-814-5188. That's 800-814-5188.
Red State Talk Radio is now available as a voice command on your Amazon Echo and Echo Dot by simply saying, Alexa, play Red State Talk Radio.
Red State Talk Radio on TuneIn.
Turn to every single American. Now, we've been hearing all these stories about sanctuary cities. That
you can now find us on the Amazon Echo and Echo Dot, on TuneIn, on iHeartRadio, and we also have the phone apps in the App Store for your particular phone. And just in case we activated your Echo Dot, Alexa, stop.
Did you know that the average yearly repair bill for a car 5 years or older is more than $1,200? Having repair coverage for your car just makes sense, but the trick is not to overpay for it. With Toco Warranty, you can get a highly rated vehicle protection plan usually for less than a tank of gas per month. And now, we're offering a zero down payment program. To get a great car vehicle protection plan at a super low price, call Toco Warranty at 1-800-987-1519. That's 1-800-987-1519. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, this is Leonora Cravota from Red State Talk Radio for My Pillow. I used to have trouble sleeping. My Pillow changed all that. I now fall asleep within moments of my head touching my pillow. That's how comfortable My Pillow is with its patented interlocking fill. My Pillow stays cool and does not go flat. Plus, it's machine washable and dryable. My Pillow has a 10-year warranty and a 60-day comfort guarantee. My Pillow is also the official pillow of the National Sleep Foundation, and it's made right here in the USA. My Pillow is now offering Red State Talk Radio listeners a 4-pack special with 2 premium standard or queen pillows and 2 go anywhere pillows. That's 4 pillows for the price of 1. To take advantage of this special offer, call 1-800-961-9194 and ask for promo code Red State. That's 1-800-961-9194, promo code Red State. Put sleepless nights behind you with My Pillow, the most comfortable pillow you will ever own.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit mypillow.com.
Hold on to your seats. Buckle up for safety. You are now entering another dimension with the Scott Adams Show.
And we're back. My name is Scott Adams. You're listening to the Scott Adams Show live on Red State Talk Radio. And we want to thank everybody for tuning in. And our call line is open again. It's 215-867-8255. That's 215-TOP-TALK. That's 867-8255. If you'd like to call in and be heard. Yeah, I wanted to make sure I got through that particular issue with regard to DACA. I find it so interesting, really, because, you know, I also was the one, and Red State is going to be writing an article about this, about the 18-year wait. Because, again, I believe this whole thing is really about fighting for votes. And at the end of the day, I think Trump honestly believes that this problem is not going to go away wholeheartedly, and that the Democrats are trying to gain ownership of a voting bloc, much like they tried to do in the 60s with the black vote. And they are dusting off the playbook. They're trying to come off like they're the only ones that care about a certain group, when in fact, you know, everybody knows that the biggest impact on groups that are less fortunate or poor groups or poverty-stricken groups is a job. And tax reform and economic stimulants are huge for poor communities across America as manufacturing jobs start to come back and demand for these things grows. It's just the nature of the beast. As the jobs grow plentiful, the demand for better workers the filtration system occurs. You know, some people ask why the generosity? Why are all these 120 corporations paying it forward and giving back? What makes them so generous? Frankly, it's because a lot of people are underemployed and they can go elsewhere now and find a better job. And what's happening is a lot of people, a lot of these corporations, you know, understand that retention rates have a huge impact on the bottom line. It's expensive to train people. It's expensive to house people. You know, human resources and administration and big corporations, they have to look at every square foot of every office as an expense against a certain employee. And when you add it up, you know, the employee's salary, then their health benefits, and then the real estate, their phone, they have a phone on their desk. It adds up. And at some point, you know, you definitely want to retain your personnel. And the way you do that is you do it with money. And so it is generous, but it's generous because it's necessary. It's necessary. And big, good businessmen understand that. But it was interesting, you know, because Angelie Earhart asked that question, like she didn't know, to Stuart Varney, you know, talking about, well, why are they so generous? I thought it was interesting question, but in any case, yeah, it's common sense for businesses to behave that way. And that's where I think dreamers are going to benefit the most. I think that Trump sees a clear benefit to winning over that group. Why take a defensive posture? That's only going to last so long. You know, when you go forward and you approach something, you approach it with your head held high, your chest out, and you appear as though you're confident. Trump understands that. That's why he's had successful shows. That's why he's been a successful real estate mogul. He keeps himself clean. He doesn't do drugs. He doesn't drink. He doesn't, play games. He works all the time. And he approaches every single thing with confidence. He thinks it's going to be a great bill. He's going to be a big, beautiful wall, whatever. You know, all of these things are important messaging. And, you know, just yesterday they praised all of our law enforcement as well. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, Scott. This is John from Illinois. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thank you for coming.
How are you doing today?
Pretty good.
Good, good. Well, I wonder if you and I were listening to a different press conference yesterday, because I am not nearly as sanguine after what I heard the president say in that press conference as you seem to be. And I am very, very concerned.
You remind me of Tucker Carlson right now, because Tucker took the same position as you.
Yeah, I didn't watch the show last night, but yeah. I guess we do agree, because the language used was the language of concession, the language of capitulation more than the language of victory. And when he says, I will accept anything that these people in the room come up with, I am very confident in what they come up with, I have to disagree 180 degrees. Dick Durbin was sitting to his right. Dick Durbin from Illinois, who is a incendiary liberal, was sitting to his right. Kevin McCarthy is a...
Well, and you know who was to his left. You know who was to his left, right? To his left was Steny Hoyer. Steny Hoyer. Okay, he was also a liberal.
Steny Hoyer, right.
Steny Hoyer. He's a liberal, too. Here's the point, though.
Right.
Okay, this was obviously for optics. This was pre-staged, pre-planned. This was well done. And the thing is that I don't think they wanted it to go 55 minutes. I think that they wanted it to go like 30 minutes. And it just got out of control a little bit. And Dianne Feinstein understood what was happening there. And she decided to seize the moment and try to hold his feet to the carpet to a certain extent. And a couple of other liberals in the room were doing the same thing, like, okay, I see this playing out. I see this as like a photo op that's going to put us all on record. Let's try to get Trump on record and put it, pin him in a corner. And what Trump was trying to do was what I was saying here in this show, which is Trump is trying to put a smiley, happy, golden face on this thing so that the liberals give him better press so that the dreamers can look at him with a little bit more hope. But then you saw Tom Cotton, Perdue, and McCarthy all say, no, 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 we're going to run these things together. And I think that what you're going to have is you're going to basically have a nice, beautiful, golden sausage patty on a bun after all the sausage is ground up, you know, on the table there. I really think that the buzzwords that I wanted to take away from that, and there were buzzwords, and the buzzwords were merit. The other buzzword coming out of Trump's mouth was 800,000. So he said 800,000, he said merit, and he said wall, and he said chain, and he said lottery. And if none of those, and right now the Republicans have all the leverage. And I think Trump definitely knows how to play the hand with leverage.
Well, let's hope that sandwich isn't a surrender sandwich.
It won't be.
Extremely concerned, especially when, well, I don't agree with that. I think it may be, but Scott, Kevin McCarthy, if that's the guy, look, you know, they say is two things you don't want to be seeing made. And one is sausage and the other is the law. And what happens is in the law, in the lawmaking, I think a lot of things get thrown in where there's loophole after loophole, which judges as well as liberal bureaucrats can exploit. You have to clamp down on all of it. I have zero faith in the guy. Kevin McCarthy is too stupid to administer that kind of program to figure out what the loopholes will be and stop them. Trump doesn't have the time to do that. He's not going to look at the details. You have to have someone in the administration who is the point man for that and who really goes after that, because Ryan won't do it. Ryan killed the last serious effort, along, he was part of the effort to kill the last serious effort to pass immigration legislation in the mid-90s. Lamar Smith's legislation was killed in part by Empower America,
okay,
so Kemp's organization, which Ryan was part of. And this guy is a big, high immigration, big business advocate on this. He may honestly believe it. He may believe it for some good reason. But in the end, it is a poison pill for the country because of what we're seeing now.
Yeah, I think that they
increasing instability.
I think that they realize that Jennifer Palmieri was telling the truth. I think that they know what game is being played. I also think that the meeting that they had at Camp David addressed how to posture, you know, the political face you're going to put on this, and actually what's not negotiable, what's negotiable, what's not negotiable. And I really think that the Republicans are holding all the cards right now, because if this DACA doesn't go through, then guess what? More and more people, like those El Salvadorians and the Haitians and the Syrians, are going to be kicked out of the country through other means, through the temporary orders that were given to them. And I also think that that it hurts the Democrats and helps the Republicans if DACA doesn't get resolved. And so therefore, they're going to push for this to get resolved, and the Republicans are going to get everything they want pretty much in exchange for a small compromise on DACA. But merit-based, that word is going to have a huge impact on DACA. And one other thing is the part that did catch me off guard and that I thought was kind of really interesting was when Donald Trump said something about earmarks. We only have 50 seconds, but when he said that about earmarks, I thought, whoa, because it was John Boehner in 2011 that put an end to pork barreling. And, you know, a lot of people are saying that's a reversal drain the swamp. That's actually creating a swamp, you know, when you start talking about earmarks and backroom deals.
Well, I'm not sure how I feel about that. That's another question.
Yeah.
But I would say with this, the strategy on immigration for the Democrats has been obvious for 20 to 30 to 40 years.
Right.
That has been the strategy for a long time. Ted Kennedy thought of this in the 60s. And the Republicans either were too stupid to figure this out, mm-hmm, or they knew it and went along with it because their backers wanted it. And the only last thing I'd say is, regarding the vote, I hear them saying we need 60 votes. Why do they need 60 votes for this? Why can't they do a straight 50-vote
I agree. I agree with you 100%. We got the music. I agree with you 100%. That's a great question. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks.
All right. Take care now. And with that, you're listening to The Scott Adams Show live on Red State Talk Radio. We'll see you all next time on the radio. Have a great Wednesday, everybody. Have a great Wednesday. We'll see you next time on the radio. Paul Preston's up next. Stay tuned.
Grab a shovel, dig a hole a little deeper, just to bury my kids right up to there.